All right, and welcome back. We've got our guest here seated right by us. Hi, Robert Jones. Welcome to Peace and Social Justice.
Thanks for having
very
me.
Very excited to have you here. And we also have Monica Bell back with us, and Monica's going to engage in the conversation with Robert as well. So you're a professor at philosophy department at Chico State.
Yep, I'm a professor at Chico State. I've been here for 6 years.
All right. Okay. So this is a great topic for the Peace and Social Justice Program, animal rights as a social justice issue.
Right.
This is one that, I've been doing this program for a long time, and it is difficult for me. It was in the past. It's not so much anymore since I've become a vegetarian, I think, for 5-6 years now. But it was kind of difficult to think of that as a like an important social justice issue. It was minimized in my own mind. And
right.
I'm someone I consider myself a social justice advocate.
Sure.
So I can imagine, that it must be one that encounters some pushback from folks when you start to talk about animal rights as a social justice issue. Is that true?
Definitely.
Talk
it's
about
definitely
that.
True. So it's been about 40 years. In 1975, a philosopher named Peter Singer, who's still very active, he wrote a book called Animal Liberation. And that book, it's recognized as starting the modern animal rights movement. So it's been 40 years, and it's a very influential book. It's possibly the most influential philosophy book of the last 100 years. So here it is 40 years later, and it's still odd, as you say, to think about animal rights being a social justice issue. If you think about, even in the academy, people who write on social justice, people who their specialty in political science is social justice, rarely, if at all, will you see any reference to animals at all when issues of social justice are discussed. Even today, the issues revolve around human beings, right? So recently, at least in the animal rights community, particularly in the academic animal rights community, the scholars, the issues of the implications for social justice of animal rights have been gaining popularity, and particularly with regard to what is called intersectional studies, or studies that making connections between things like racism and sexism and ableism with what I'm going to call, maybe some of you have never heard of this, speciesism. So speciesism it wasn't coined by Peter Singer in 1975, but he used it in his book. And speciesism is basically at the heart of this worldview of seeing animals as subjects, proper subjects of social justice. So when you think about what's wrong with things like racism and sexism, what we identify, at least in general, there are lots of different types of racism and sexism, but what they have in common oftentimes is that we pick out, we prejudice someone or a group of people based on a particular trait or characteristic that isn't relevant to what we're talking about. It's not relevant to the way that we treat people. So for example, with regard to racism, we say, what's really wrong with racism foundationally is that race is not relevant. Race is not morally relevant. When we're talking about how to treat people, we think what's wrong with racism is it's a bias against people because of their race, and that's not relevant to the issue. So if I'm going to rent an apartment to someone, what's relevant is their like record for paying their landlords, but not their race, right? So Peter Singer and others have taken this idea and said, when you favor your own race, when you bias in favor of your own race over people of another race, and you think that you're superior, that same paradigm applies in racism and sexism and with regard to species. So the idea of speciesism is this, is that we human beings, we are prejudiced in favor of members of our own species over the interests of members of another species, and we believe that we're superior. So I think foundationally, once we come to understand the implications of our speciesism, then it's not too hard to it's not too many steps to make a case for animal rights as having implications for social justice, which I can certainly talk more about. But I think speciesism is at the foundation of understanding this connection.
Well, what about, I mean, because I agree with you. I think that most people are guilty, I suppose, of speciesism. But the other way that I look at it is that in terms of defining what speciesism is that what does it have in common with other isms like racism,
sure,
or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like domination,
exactly,
oppression, exploitation, all of those things.
Yes.
You know, to look at those parallels. Is that something that you bring out in your talks about
yes,
animal rights?
And
it also, it kind of differentiates the, I think, the minor aspects of speciesism, for example, you know, killing a cockroach,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to factory farming.
Right.
I mean, they're two very different things,
sure,
really.
Yes.
And it's what they have in common,
yeah,
with other isms that,
right,
that really means a lot to me.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because part of what I'm doing with this talk that I'm giving, and when I discuss this stuff with regard to social justice, you know, when you think about racism, there are individual cases of racism, and then there are things like institutional levels racism. So when we're thinking about social justice, I am thinking at the institutional or cultural level, right? And these issues with regard to social justice, you know, let me just say, traditionally, at least in the kind of academic literature, social justice usually has something to do with the distribution of resources, ideas of fairness and equality and entitlements to resources and certain protections from, say, environmental damage and things like that. But there's another important aspect of social justice, and that touches on what you just said, things like domination and oppression, exploitation, objectification, marginalization. When we look at those aspects of social justice, then it becomes crystal clear, and especially when we look at institutionalized systems like, for example, as you said, factory farming, then it becomes clear that we have a sector, a group of individuals who are sentient, that is, they feel pain, there is something it is like to be them, they have experiences. And because, say, the difference between, say, a rock and a pig, the rock doesn't have these experiences, the pig does. And as soon as we acknowledge that the pig can suffer, the pig has complex social networks, all these things, that gives that pig a certain entitlement that obligates us to treat it in a certain way. So we have obligations to the pig. And then we look at the bigger system and we see these institutions of oppression and domination, exploitation, objectification, particularly, I mean, and these are themes, right? These are themes we have been familiar with. Those of us who are activists, those of us who are advocates of social justice, thinking about the civil rights movement, the women's lib movement, with these ideas of objectification and marginalization of exploitation, these are common themes. The currency, the sort of vocabulary of social justice, when we stop and think about it and look at these institutional injustices against animals, it matches perfectly. So when we think about things like factory farming, for example, we have, I mean, let's think about objectification. We have arguably, the ultimate notion of objectification, and that is literally turning a sentient feeling being into an object that we euphemistically call meat. That is possibly the maximal notion of objectification. So what I want to argue, what I want to, I want people who are already on board with social justice movements to basically just expand the circle to think about speciesism, have maybe a little paradigm shift and say, oh my gosh, yes, there is this entire other, and you could say invisible, social justice and injustice going on. Once you see it in these terms, I think you really have a shift. I think you have to, we as social justice advocates are obligated to include all sentient beings, not just human beings, in issues concerning social justice.
Professor Jones, I'm really curious. Let's see where this hits the road. Basically, I guess one angle that's really interesting to me is to think about weaving together social justice camps, different people who have different priorities when it comes to social justice and how they can learn from each other.
Right.
And I'm just wondering what your vision is for how your research will influence, can influence and create culture that does respect all sentient beings and respect the sentience of all different kinds of creatures. And lately what I've been learning as I look into rights of indigenous people is that culturally they are so ingrained, or so they have such a depth of understanding of that sentience, and they raise people to understand the wisdom of all different, of wisdom of the lizard, wisdom of the crow, wisdom of the coyote. And so I'm wondering, with your research, what is your vision for how it would unfold and influence cultural evolution, essentially?
That's a good question. So I think that this notion, once you start to see the world, I mean, let's stop and think about just common practices. And when I use the term we, I'm pretty much meaning we in industrialized, affluent Western society. Okay, so I want to focus on that. When we think about the ways in which we treat non-human animals, stop and think about this for a moment. So we eat them as food, usually for no other reason than they taste good. That's the majority. I'm not going to say there aren't cases where people may or may not have to, but for the majority of us, the reason I order the bacon donut instead of the regular one is because I like the taste of bacon. Okay, we wear them for clothing. We experiment on them. We put them in zoos and look at them. We hunt them for no other reason than we enjoy it as a sport. There are many things that we do to animals that are in many ways, they're invisible to us. If this is, when I teach my race class, when I talk about white privilege and how white privilege can be invisible until someone says, excuse me, have you noticed this? And then once again, you may have that moment where you say, oh yeah, I never thought about it. Now I see the world differently. So when you think about these practices and you think, for example, just focusing solely on animals as food, there are currently about 7 billion humans on the planet. In 1 year, globally, we slaughter 60, that's 60 billion sentient beings. 60 billion sentient beings are slaughtered for food. Okay. So what my hope is, my vision, and I don't know if this will ever happen in my lifetime.
Oh, let's go for it. Why not?
My vision is that in the same way that we've had, right now, we all agree, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, we agree that things like slavery are immoral and should be done away with. We agree that sexism is bad and should be done away with. I think that the animal rights movement, it's so young, it's only 40 years old, but it's still in its infancy. But my vision is that we can, this idea that animals are the subjects of moral consideration, that animals have these protections and we have obligations to them, because the days of there's human beings and everything else, that's the kind of thinking that has led us to where we are with regard to the environment, with regard to the way we treat other humans. So we need to have a shift and think, we are earthlings. That's what we are. We're all on this planet. We're sentient beings. We have to care for the planet. We have to care for each other. And part of that involves a realization that really what I want to do is I want to walk lightly on the planet and do what I can to decrease harm in my lifetime. And one of the ways we can decrease harm is by recognizing that we have to respect these kinds of obligations we have to animals. Now, how would that work? I don't know. I'll tell you what. If President Obama wants to appoint me the in the cabinet of animal rights, the I'm ready to do that. So I think we can. I think a place to start, at least with social justice movements, is first inclusion. Is to say, when we're speaking of social justice, we need to include sentient beings. When we look at environmental justice, when we look at, and we do this, right? We say, oh, habitat is being destroyed. That's important. It would be nice to acknowledge that habitat of specific species who are sentient are being destroyed, and that's a social justice issue. It's not merely to say habitat's being destroyed and that messes things up for human beings. And I want to make clear, I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone. I'm a species, we're all speciesist, but my vision is that we could have this kind of, we can have an enlightened consciousness and say, yeah, when we're talking about these issues, we can't marginalize non-human animals.
And if you just joined us, this is the Peace and Social Justice Program. Our guest is Dr. Robert Jones. He's a professor at the Department of Philosophy at Chico State, and he's with us today in the studio. So, Robert, you are doing a talk on animal rights as a social justice issue on campus next Wednesday.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Next Wednesday night. Well, I'd like to first thank my colleague, Tom Imhoff, he's the head of the Peace Institute at Chico.
There you go.
And my other colleague, Curtis Peldo, who's a member, Curtis came to me last spring. You know, last year I gave a talk on campus. It was just about, like, a general talk about animal rights. And my colleague Curtis approached me and said, we need to get you to have a talk for the Peace Institute because this notion of peace, social justice, and animal rights really needs to start to come to the fore. So I said, hey, I'm happy to do that. So my friend Curtis and Tom Imhoff, they organized this talk, which is going to be Wednesday, October the 22nd at 7 p.m., and I think it's in PAC 134.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk is called Animal Rights. Animal Rights is a Social Justice Issue. And in that talk, I'm going to lay out, I mean, today I'm giving you some sort of highlights, but in that talk, I'm going to lay out in detail what I think the argument is for animals' inclusion in issues of social justice. I'm going to give you my argument. I'm going to lay it out. And then we're going to have a Q&A, and that's, let me just say, a lot of times at these talks, that's where all the action takes place. The Q&A is very fun.
I bet.
So I encourage people to come. I particularly encourage people to come who are skeptical who disagree, because I truly believe that we have this institution here. We have the University of California. This is a place for the free exchange of ideas. And that, I believe, is the way that we can educate each other and learn from each other. So I want to be inclusive in the talk itself. I encourage anyone who's interested, agree or disagree, to come to the talk and hear what I have to say, and then we can talk about it.
Do you see animal rights as an issue whose time has come? I mean, it just seems like with the disappearance of so many species, mm-hmm. and global climate change and so forth, and the loss of habitats for, so many animals. I mean, it just seems like this is the time to be talking about it and its place in our conversations about social justice issue, I think, is cemented by global climate change and by what we see as really a devastation of so many species that are losing habitat all over the world.
Yes, this is a crucial moment, and I think if there is a positive side to the global climate crisis that we're facing, it does give us an opportunity, those of us who are advocating for animal rights as a social justice issue, to now's the time. There's an opening to say, we have, you know, we as earthlings, we're sharing this place. We're destroying it not only for humans, we're destroying it for non-humans. So I think this is kind of an opportune time to raise this issue and expand the notions of social justice. It's the right thing to do for billions. Like I said, I think the most egregious case, and there is the issue of habitat loss and global destruction, but I think that the global animal food production industry is the most egregious case of violations of social justice, oppression, domination, violence, objectification. If you're on board with social justice already, if you're already against or you want to fight against things like oppression and domination, this field, this notion of animal rights, this is for you. To expand the social justice issue to animals, it just lays over perfectly.
Yeah. I think there might be, in some instances, at least I've noticed in different circles, this notion that there's only so much airtime, and so who gets the priority? And so what seems important to me is to weave it together and see how when we honor life, all life as sacred, we all do better. And so do you encounter folks who are sometimes say, wait, but if we talk about the animals, won't have time to talk about...
Sure.
Yeah.
I have people say things stronger than that. What they'll say to me is, you don't you care about human beings? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this stuff animals? What do you like animals better than human beings? And I always think that's kind of odd because I'm an advocate for a lot of issues, right? I contribute to different candidates. I contribute to different causes. There's something about people when they express support for animals, it seems some people get defensive. But I agree with what you just said, and that is if we're gentle, if we reduce harm for all sentient beings, then we're all better off. It's in our own interest to do that, all of our interests, all of the sentient beings' interest.
I'm curious. And so even if someone cares about and loves life and wants to uphold the life of all beings, not everyone makes the choice. So, for example, in my household, we have vegans, we have omnivores, I call myself an opportunitarian, and folks at all points on the spectrum, not everyone takes that choice to honor life in that way. What was the moment when you first got interested in this issue? Like, when did you first awaken?
The first thing that happened is I had a friend when I lived in Los Angeles, Chris Weitch, and he worked at a good friend of mine, and he worked at a natural food store, and he showed me a pamphlet, and he said, "Did you know that when you're eating veal, the veal kept in these crates and they're chained?" And I had no idea. I mean, I had eaten meat 3 days a week, three times a day, every day of the week. And then what happened is I read a book. It was written by John Robbins, and it was called Diet for a New America, and it immediately, instantly changed the way I thought about the world, and I thought, oh, this makes perfect sense. Animals need to be included. And then I think it was off to the races after that, and then I dedicated my professional philosophical life to animals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think mine was Diet for a Small Planet yes. In the 70s. I found it. It was a paperback at a yard sale, mm-hmm. and I read it, and I was like, wow,
yeah.
You know, what are we doing? Me, what am I doing with my hamburger, you know?
Yeah.
What does it have to go through, and all the resources that are used and so forth? I mean, just kind of like from that environmentalistic
yes.
Kind of approach. But it's been a slow evolution, I have to say. Speciesism is like, you know, rampant. I mean, all of us, as you mentioned, are part of that. So we are just about out of time here. I want to give people the information again about your talk. Our guest has been Dr. Robert Jones, professor of philosophy at Chico State. He's going to be giving a fuller talk, more comprehensive about animal rights is a social justice issue. And there will be some Q&A time afterwards. And
oh,
as
yeah.
you said, it's often the best part of the presentation, perhaps,
yes.
The most informative. So, again, it's Wednesday, October 22nd, so next Wednesday at PAC 134 on campus, and it starts at 7 p.m.
That's it.
Thank you so much for coming in today. This has been really, really good, really
thank
eye-opening
you, Laurel,
for me.
Thank you, Laurel, and thank you, Monica.
Yeah,
thank you, okay.
Jones.
All right. So peace and social justice, just about over here. I want to thank our underwriters. We are able to bring you Peace and Social Justice due to the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Kaya Fit, Chico's only women's fitness center. Kaya Fit is offering a 6-week program to help you reduce stress, gain confidence, and get you back into shape. Classes are for all levels and ages, 5 days a week in a personal training atmosphere with supporting, encouraging women. Kaya Fit are experts in the field of women's fitness and are excited to help you reach your goals. For more information, visit KayaFitChico.com, and that's KayaFitChico.com, or you can call 570-6342. And by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing sustainable energy for life, Alternative Energy Systems offers residential, commercial, and agricultural energy solutions, and you can reach them by telephone at 345-6980, or you can find them online at SolarEnergyForLife.com. Stay tuned. At 1 o'clock, we have Playing Dead, and then at 3 o'clock today, we have Sanjay coming in with Devastation Sounds. Been great to be with you today. Thank you so much. And Monica, good job on your first produced segment on peace and social justice. Look forward to working with Monica much more in the future, and we will see you next time on Peace and Social Justice.